Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to just continue our study this morning in the letter to the church in Corinth. And if you've been with us through this study, you know that the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of professing believers that he has spent at least 18 months with about 4 or 5 years prior to this writing. A church was born out of that visit, and now he has heard reports how things are going in that church and that they're not going very well. We've been introduced to the first problem that he has been dealing with, and that is that there's divisions in the church, but there's just not the source or the cause of these divisions and factions in the church is that the church has a human mindset, or they are seeking to deal with God's church, a spiritual organization, a spiritual entity, in human ways. What they're doing is they're saying, oh, Paul was the one that ministered to my heart. I'm going to attach myself to him. And others said Apollos, others said Cephas. And they were attaching themselves to human preachers, to leaders, and we need them. But they were doing so in excess and disregarding the gospel, the cross of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul, in this passage, in this letter, in the first 4 chapters, is rebuking and correcting their thinking. He's already talked about the wisdom of God, and the power of God is in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not in these preachers. Now, they proclaim that message. And none of these men, Apollos, Paul, Peter, none of them were parading around a banner, follow after me and disregard Christ. No, they weren't. But what we're seeing is what can happen in the heart of a person is very easily we can become our mindset is altered off of what we need to be focused on, and it's focused upon men and things of this world. And that's what you're seeing here. And Apostle Paul is trying to direct their attention, reorient them back to Jesus Christ. So last time we were together in this passage, we talked about 3 different groups of people that the Apostle Paul introduces. Chapter 2, he starts and he introduces those that are spiritual, those that are the mature. Just by way of review, look at chapter 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, those that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So he introduces us to those that are spiritual, those that are mature. These are a group of people that have the Spirit of God living within them, and because of that, they are able to discern and understand the ways of God. These, as he says in verse 16 of chapter 2, these people have the mind of Christ. In other words, they know how to think in accordance and in agreement with God and His ways and His Spirit. God's Spirit lives within them, and they are responding to His Spirit. The second group of people are those that are, he calls, the natural man. In verse 14, he speaks of them, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, he does not have the Spirit of God living within him. He is a mere human being without the Spirit. And so he lacks the vitality that comes, the spiritual vitality that comes from knowing God and having His Spirit living within. So that's very limiting to them. They don't understand the ways of God and His wisdom. They don't understand it at all because they don't have the capacity, they don't have the Spirit to help them open their minds up to its wonderful truth. The third group of people, which we find in chapter 3 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul writes, and I read in verse 1 of chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." This is the third group of people. And this group of people I believe they are Christians. I believe they do have the Spirit of God. And why do I believe that? Well, it's because the Apostle Paul calls the Corinthian church carnal. And if you look at chapter 1, he is writing to people who are saints. And so these Christians, we'll call them, they are living for the flesh even though they have the Spirit within. And sadly, we find so many of us today struggle with this very same thing, do we not? This very thing of the struggle, the battle that is between the flesh and the Spirit that lives within us. The book of Galatians talks about this in Galatians chapter 5. We know about the fruit of the Spirit. We've heard that before. But the verses prior to that speak of a battle that resides, that goes on inside of a Christian. And that battle is between the Spirit and the flesh. It's real. That's this. It's that intense struggle that you feel every single day as you come to decisions that you have to make in your life. As you come to a point in a conversation with your spouse, and it's a difficult conversation, you're not agreeing with everything, with one another, and but you know you have to work through it. How am I going to handle myself? And what kind of words are going to come out of my mouth? Well, if you're a Christian, the Spirit gives you an opportunity to do the right thing. But if you disregard the Spirit, to the Spirit, the automatic result is of the flesh. And that's what's spelled out in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. Well, these people in Corinth, the Apostle Paul is writing to them, and he's calling them carnal. He's writing to them as babes in Christ. Let me just read a couple verses in this chapter, and then we'll break it down a little bit. So chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal?" I'm just going to stop here, but we're going to talk more in weeks to come about what the resulting truth is. But today, I really believe God wants us to deal with this attitude, this truth, that we must not be satisfied with being immature in Christ. If you read this passage, you understand that what Paul is teaching is that there is no place for the contented immature in the church. There is no place for those that they've professed Christ and have been saved, and that's okay with me. That's all I need. I'm satisfied right where I'm at. You see, what the Apostle Paul is preaching here is that in the church, there must be a heart and an attitude in the people of a progressive pattern of growth. A progressive pattern that shows from year to year a development of understanding of a stature that is growing in the wisdom and truth and power of God. So I ask you today, are you growing? Are you growing? Had a conversation with an individual who is new to the faith and just trusted Christ. And my question to him was this: how's your faith? What are you doing to grow? You know, what's interesting is those that are young in faith and newly saved, so often they don't know what to do. They just know that Jesus is their Savior, and they've come to Christ, and they've been gloriously saved, and they're pumped and excited about it. But church, we have to realize that the Christian life is one of progressive growth. And we see that here as the Apostle Paul refers to the church in Corinth as babes in Christ. Babies, infants, young children. I know about babies. I've had the privilege of having six and a seventh on the way. And it is an incredible thing to see life come. I cry every time. But these little babies are immature. They cannot care for themselves. They cannot feed themselves. They cannot change themselves. They cannot survive on their own. They need their mama. And they need that nutritional milk that comes from mama. But you parents, you will agree with me how exciting it is to watch your children grow. And to watch your children go from being held in your arms to being able to walk. And finally, you just have to hold their hand to get to places instead of carrying them everywhere. And they're able to take a little bit more responsibility. And eventually they grow up and their muscles grow and they can start taking out the garbage. And they can start feeding the animals and they can start doing the dishes. That's my favorite part. Can't wait till you guys get all that. But you know what? We get excited about growth physically, don't we? But church, we have got to get excited about growth spiritually. We've got to get on that track, and we have got to have that heart and that spirit. Are you growing? Are you growing? Sadly, it is sad. He says, I can't speak unto you as spiritual. I can't speak unto you as people who put the Spirit and the ways of the Spirit first in your life. It's just not true for you. I have to speak unto you as fleshly. Those that are flesh-driven. Those that are directed by their flesh rather than their spirit. Or we could put it this way. The majority of the time, it seems you are listening to the spirit more, or listening to the flesh more than the spirit. And the Apostle Paul is not... He's not satisfied with this. This is not okay for the church of Christ. It's been 4 or 5 years since he's been with them. This church was planted. It's been 18 months with them, and surely he was teaching them the basics of the truth, the basic doctrines of the faith. He was preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was teaching this when he was there with them. And now 4 years have passed. They have had other preachers. Obviously, Apollos was there. Some have been influenced by Peter. And so they have had teaching. But what they have done is they have taken that teaching and they have listened to it, yes. But they have not allowed it to translate into growth in their lives. Perhaps, maybe they were doing what so many in our culture do. Maybe they were doing church. Maybe they were doing their duty and going to church, hearing all of the sermons and messages and teaching, but saying, I'm okay, I'm saved, I don't need that anymore. Just as an aside, this is a very, very, very important thing for you to consider. Because the scriptures teach that you will be known by your fruit. And although the Apostle Paul, he admits here that there are carnal Christians, it is certainly not something that he says it's okay. And he is saddened by its existence. Well, he calls them babes in Christ. In verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk, past tense, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, past tense. Of course, they weren't able to bear it. They were young in their faith, immature. They were babes in Christ. But here's the sad part. Look at the end of verse 2. Now you're still not able to bear it. Now you're still not able. You are not ready. You have not come to the point where I can increase your knowledge with new teaching, because you still haven't grasped what I've given you. It's interesting how he uses the terminology of a family of babes, of milk, and of meat. We know, and we're familiar with that, because most of us have been around children, whether you're a mom or a dad, or whether you're a brother or sister, have had siblings, or whatever. You understand, babies, they drink milk, and they primarily will drink milk only for the first, say, 6 months of their lives. Why? That's because all they can handle. That's how God designed it. But what's fascinating is you begin to get teeth, and you begin to develop an ability and a desire for more food. You know, what we do in our families, we watch our children to see when they begin to show interest in what we're eating. When they begin to see that what's on our plate, and they're curious about it. You know what? God puts that within, because they need more and more nourishment. And eventually the milk will not satisfy. The milk is not enough to sustain consistent growth. That is why it is imperative that we move from milk to meat. I was thinking about, well, the obvious question out of all of this is then, how do I grow? What do I do? How do I make sure that I have an attitude, that I have a spirit of longing to grow, of not being content and satisfied with just the basic truths of the Scriptures, but diving in for more? How do I do that? I think you already know the answer. I think it is abundantly clear that there's two very basic things that are crucial to the survival and to the growth and the sustainment of a believer. Two things. It is the Word of God and the church. The Word of God and the church. So let's ask these questions. Am I growing? If I'm not growing, let's ask these questions. Why? Well, are you spending time in God's Word? Oh, Pastor, you talk to us all about that all the time. Yeah, I do. And that's part of my role. It's because we need a regular diet of the Word of God. And we need people to remind us of that. Are you regularly in the Word of God? And I'm not saying from week to week. Sunday, thanks, Pastor, you preached to me the Word for the week. Sunday, next Sunday. You know, I'm not talking about that. I mean, that's great and that's good and fine. But what attitude, what kind of spirit does that show? If you want to grow, eat the Word. Dive into it. Make time for it. We all make time for the things we want to do. I had never liked hearing that. But it's true, isn't it? Boy, we can make time to check the latest scores. We can make time to read another chapter in that novel. We can make time to go out and do an extra mile in our exercise. Oh, those are good things. Yeah, they're fine. I'm not condemning that. but we need to make time to sustain growth. Church. You know, as I thought about this, you know, I am not typically an in-your-face kind of guy. But I might get in your face a little bit today. And, well, I trust God will, that you'll face the Spirit. I don't want to be in your face. But here's, church is important. And we have in our culture sometimes this mentality of people that as long as I can get to church, at least this one time, I'm fine. And I realize and I understand that some people, you just can't make it. But let's face it. What are you making time for? Where are you choosing to go with your time? You know, churches are open more than just on Sunday mornings often. Some are, but, you know, God has given us the opportunity to be here 4 times in the week. If we're going to grow together, make time to spend with other believers. It's important. It's imperative to our growth that you make these things a priority in your life. It is in the church that often you are fed the deeper truths of scriptures. I have so enjoyed how some of the deacons have taken over the teaching of the adult Sunday school class. I am being fed. I am being encouraged, and I am being blessed sitting under their teaching. Are you making time to be together with God's people? Are you making it a priority in your life as much as you are able? And I'm not talking about, you know, quitting a job or all that. I am talking about, you know what you do with your time. I have fed you with milk, Paul says, not with meat. You are not able to bear it, and you're still not able to bear it. He says for verse 3, for you are yet carnal. You are yet flesh-driven, flesh-directed. For whereas, and this is why he says this, Paul says, I know this to be true because of this fruit that I've seen and heard. Because there is envying, there is strife, and there is divisions in your midst. This church was made up of flesh-driven, flesh-directed people, and it showed. It showed because there were these problems, these factions and divisions and strife that existed in the body of Christ that has been designed by God to operate in unity with Jesus Christ as the head. I want you to notice the end of verse 3. Are you not carnal and walk as men? This is a very strong rebuke. Well, what is he saying here? What he is saying is you are so driven by the flesh that your lives are looking a lot like those in the world. You have a life, a conduct, a walk that is very, very much like a man that doesn't have the Spirit living within. The church needs to get this message. We have to understand and grapple with the reality of the battle of the flesh and the spirit that is in our hearts. And we have to understand that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have His Spirit living within you. And dear one, listen, you have every opportunity for victory in your life because the Spirit is within. is living there. But if you are not feeding your life on good things, feeding the Spirit of God, then you're feeding the flesh, and the flesh will rear its ugly head, and you'll listen to it. You'll listen to it. And then he just reminds them. See, some of you say, I'm of Paul. Some of you say, I'm of Apollos. Aren't you being driven by the flesh? Well, what do we need to do with this challenge? What do we need to do with this information? Well, we need to ask ourselves, which kind of person am I? Where am I at? Do some self-evaluation. Am I heeding the Spirit of God? Is God actively at work in my life and I'm listening to Him and following His ways and He's giving me understanding? In fact, do I have the mind of Christ? Am I thinking as Christ would want me to think? Or am I suppressing the Spirit to satisfy the flesh? This became very practical for me, I'd say maybe a year or two ago. I've understood, yes, I mean, I've taught through Galatians chapter 5. I taught about the Spirit and the flesh. But sometimes we don't always get the nitty-gritty practical parts of it. And we can get this in our head that, oh yeah, that's a great idea, that's true, and I believe that. But for me, it came down to this thing where it was just a little, it's a little thing, and I'll be open and honest with you, okay? I like to check the news on a daily basis. I think that, you know, that's fine, that's good and important. But as I would check the news, it was interesting what kind of news stories I would be looking for. I would notice as I look online, so I'd be scrolling down through, my eyes would catch the news stories that were, two main things stick out, either about fights or about affairs. And I began to realize this. I caught that. I was like, why? Why is this that when I'm checking the news, I'm looking for these kinds of things? And I notice my flesh kind of gets excited about wanting to watch a fight or wanting to read about an affair. This is just the news, for crying out loud. Yeah. It's just the news. But I'm a follower of Jesus Christ that's got the Spirit of God living within me, and here in my flesh is getting excited about something, and I see it. So the next question is, what am I going to do about it? Because the battle was strong. Do I feed my flesh? And you might look at me and say, Pastor, come on, it's just a news story. Well, I'm just telling you my experience, and I'm telling you the battle was real in my heart. And that I had to make some choices and decisions in my life. Am I going to heed the Spirit and just say, oh, it's okay, it's not a big deal. Who cares? It's just a fight. Who cares? It was an affair. It was across the country. I had to make some choices, and this is what I made. This is what I decided. I decided that those two things, and I'll probably add to the list, this list as I grow in my faith, but those two things are off limits for me. And thankfully, the site I go to, it just has headlines. And you can tell what a story is about by headlines and the pictures. So I look at the headlines and I say, oh, can't look at that one. Oh, I don't need to look at that one. And I've gotten to the point, folks, and this is what's exciting. I've gotten to the point where I said, instead of I don't need to look at that one, it's I don't want to look at that one. You see, I give you that illustration because, you know, that we're all growing. And we all need to come to this point where we understand that the spirit and the flesh, there's a very real battle in our lives, and what is exciting the flesh, we've got to turn off. And what excites the spirit, turn on. What excites the flesh, turn away from. What excites the spirit, put it on. Embrace, turn towards it. I praise God for those moments in my life where He has given me those insights in my own heart and helped me grow. And I can't describe to you the freedom that there is in being able to say, I listened to the Spirit today. I heeded the Spirit. And when I disobey and I listen to the flesh, and I have, praise God for His conviction and the forgiveness of God. But church, listen. Don't be satisfied with where you are in your spiritual life. Be one who has an attitude of growing. There's a song that has been running through our home in the last several weeks. When I say running through our home, literally, our children have embraced this song. They heard it when the Word of Life Redemption team were here. They sang this song for us, I believe. And our children kind of have grabbed a hold of it, and they enjoy it. And I'm not going to sing it for you. And you'd love to hear them sing it, but they're not going to sing it for you either. But listen to this song. It's called Start a Fire. And let me read this chorus to you. It says, start a fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. My prayer is that this morning, having these scriptures confront us this morning, that a fire will be lit under you. That you will come to grip with who you are in Christ, a part of His church, a part of His body. That you will no longer be content with where you are, with what you're doing to sustain your spiritual growth. But rather you will seek to grow in your faith and in your spiritual understanding and in the way you live that out. You see, the church in Corinth, their knowledge was being, it was being added to. They were being preached to. But they had lost the zeal, lost the desire to grow. And what is interesting is that this letter, as we are going to see, is a letter, a manual of, listen, these are ways you need to grow. These are ways and these are things that you need to understand. So where are you? Are you spiritual? Heeding the Spirit of God? Are you carnal? Are you flesh-driven? May the Scriptures speak to your heart today that you no longer be content with a flesh-driven, flesh-directed life. That you no longer be walking as mere men. But that you raise your gaze to the fact of who you are in Christ and that you are able to walk in His Spirit. To have a life that is so different than those of the world. A life that is full of victory and holiness. Not of sin and defeat.
light a fire in our souls. Let it flame, let it grow. God, would you do that in our hearts? I thank you for the bold words of Paul, and I stand behind them, Father. I sense their rebuke. I sense their urgency. I sense their strength, for they come from you. And God, as they confront our hearts today, I pray that none of us will walk away from here satisfied with being a babe. Oh God, I pray that the scriptures, Lord, that they would be in front of your people on a more regular basis, that we all would eat of them regularly. And God, I thank you for the church, and I thank you for the fellowship. I thank you for the teaching and the teachers that you've given to this assembly. And I pray, God, that you would bless your church, that you would grow your church. I pray that we would be a place that helps people grow and encourage them in the faith. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the forgiveness we have in his shed blood. And I pray that you would bless your people as they celebrate his birth this week. In Jesus' name, amen.